Hello and welcome to the United Stand podcast. It's episode 4 and I'm absolutely furious, so we're going to fly straight into this today. Flex, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, I'm good, man. It's been an eventful week. An eventful week, my friend.
It has been an eventful week, and to be honest with you, one of the questions, I'm just going to throw it straight into you, and we're going to get into this to start off with, is a lot of people get really angry with the situation with Manchester United, so we're going to do a sort of experiment to start off with, to say, if the Glazers were begging you tomorrow, look, we're sacking Woodward, he's useless, we're fed up of him, you're going to be CAO from Sunday, before the Arsenal game, what are the few things you're going to do? So have a think on that. We're also going to be talking about sell or keep Rashford. We'll be talking about some of the older players. We'll be talking about the ex-players like Gary Neville, Rio Ferdinand. He spoke to him at the weekend. You know, does their mantra of positivity actually help the club and the change that we need? Pochettino to Real Madrid. Is that a missed opportunity for Manchester United? Also, we'll be talking about the Arsenal game, where we are in the league. We're just looking at it there. We're probably going to be mid-table before we play Arsenal. And Ed Woodward's come out, according to The Telegraph, and said that he backs Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He can see the vision. He's willing to take a bad season again because he can see the vision before. And I think this feeds nicely into what I'm going to ask you about there. I've got no problem with Manchester United backing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but the problem with that statement is it just demonstrates that Ed Woodward is the man judging Manchester United's future. And I was furious about this all week. To say, for Ed Woodward to be saying or putting the message out that he backs Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he's willing to take another bad season because he can see the vision. As I say, it doesn't really matter whether the vision's correct or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's right. The big concern for me there is it's Ed Woodward who's got the power. This is a guy who, when you watch him, which you won't because you're at the games, but when you're watching him like at the weekend at West Ham and he stood there and the camera's going on him, he's putting his hands in the air about irrelevant things. He doesn't understand fucking football, and he is the man who has the decisions to make. And that's the problem. It's not even about Ollie out for me. It's about the man who's making the decisions about football at our football club, whether it's sacking or recruitment, is a man who's a bloody bank manager who knows nothing about football.
Summed it up perfectly. And this is why this whole Ollie out thing, I'm not behind it. I'm not. And it's not because I've got blinkers on and I think we're amazing and I can, you know, see that Ollie's going to be amazing. It's not that. The reason why I'm not down for sacking Ollie right now, even if it wasn't Ollie, maybe, is the fact that you're right. It's Ed Woodward and the board up above, right, that are feeding down into how the club is run. Yeah, so from top to bottom, the club is fucked. We know that. And sacking Ollie today would not change anything if Ed Woodward, who's going to have to appoint a fifth manager in 6 years, has to do that. It's not going to change anything. I don't have faith in that. I don't have faith that they're going to back him properly. And that is where our real problems lie. We're not going to be any better off with just getting rid of Ollie tomorrow. Do you know what I'm saying? So from that point of view, I'm like, I do kind of agree with Rio to a certain extent in terms of, well, what do we have to do? What, keep changing managers as soon as it goes a little bit better? We're six games in?
Yeah.
We're six games in, and whether it keeps continuing to get bad or it could pick up, you never know. But we're not completely out of any form of race yet. We're not. We're just not. You know what I'm saying? And I know the forecast doesn't look great because you can say, well, cool, we might not beat Arsenal. Then we got Newcastle. You can see us losing that because of our current form. But you get Martial and Pogba back and you just don't know, is what I'm saying. I'm willing to still see that out. But back to what you were saying with the Ed Woodward thing. You know, you're right. I don't get to see, you know, when it pans in on him. But, you know, after the game, it's all over Twitter and stuff like that. And it just proves how clueless he is. And that, for me, is the real issue. I don't think we will be any better off for sacking Ollie right now. Just like, technically, we haven't been any better off from sacking Jose, if you think about it, because the structure is not there. The structure is not there. We said, when Jose Mourinho got sacked, yes, it had to start with the manager to start this this rebuild. But then the rebuild had to come. We had to change it at board level. We had to change it at director of football level. We had to make changes up above. Not one changed. We expect anything different filtering through to the squad. And that, for me, is the biggest thing. You can look at Ollie. You can talk about his credentials and how it's going to pan out and make your judgments on that. I get it. He's making a few tactical decisions that aren't right. But on the basis of Ed Woodward and the structure of the club and the Glazers and the board, it's not changing and it ain't going to change. And whilst that's still in place, I think we're still going to be fucked no matter who comes in.
I think you're right. I think a few people are waking up to this now, because Mourinho, I don't listen to anything he says about United, yep, because he deserved the sack, and that's the bottom line. He was terrible. But what he said at the weekend is the first thing he said that I respect him for since leaving United. And he said, look, I deserved the sack, but the yep, club is in a worse position than when they sacked me. And what you're saying there is what I would say now. We would have been better. The sad thing is, we would have been better off keeping Mourinho. But yeah, even he knows, yeah, he sure deserved the sack. He should have been sacked. We were right to want him out. But it just, it really does, for people who don't get their head around it. They are starting to get their head around it now. We would be better off with Mourinho. Now, I'm not one of these bloody knobhead Mourinho fanboys that you get on social media who just think the sun shines out of his arse. He's done. He's finished. He's a Wikipedia page. He is yesterday's news. He's even admitted that himself. He deserved the sack. But we would be better off with him. And that's not a good thing. That's not, you know, to be better off with a manager that deserved the sack is not a good thing. It just highlights what we're saying here is that we would be better off with Mourinho, but he did deserve the sack, but we would be better off with him because the board are absolutely incompetent. It's like having, you know, it's like having a prize cow that you're not going to sell for meat. It's there to, you know, send to shows, get rosettes. It's a beautiful, beautiful cow, or it's got the best milk ever. Whatever. You're not going to kill it for meat, right? But letting McDonald's manage it. All they're thinking about is the beef, you know, and that's what we've got. Maybe Ollie could be. I mean, let's pretend Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a really good manager. I've got no confidence that we're ever going to get the best out of him anyway. Because he's not getting the money. He's not had the money in the summer. He's not got the right people ahead of him. Now, whether he is... Look, there'll be people listening to this saying, look, you're both idiots. He isn't the right man. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the reality is, whether he is the right man or he's not the right man, there's no doubting he probably will fail because of the people upstairs above him.
In order to thrive at the football club, not just as a manager or a player or whatever, everything from the top to the bottom, from the canteen lady right up to the Glazers, needs to be right. It needs to be in place. It needs to be a thriving atmosphere. It's like any conditions for your workplace. Do you know what I'm saying? If you have an office job, if you're a teacher, if you're a lawyer, wherever you work, the system and the structure around the job and the environment in the workplace has to be paramount. It has to be positive. It has to be set up right. It has to be a good infrastructure. It has to be a long-standing infrastructure. It has to be something that has vision and a purpose and a way of doing things. And we don't have it. And look, if you think about it, what, Ed Woodward took over when Sir Alex left, did he not? Did he take over then? Yes, I'm sure he did, didn't he?
Yes.
So he's appointed four managers. Yeah? So if you're the manager of Foot Locker, Mark, yeah? Sorry, not the manager. Say you're like regional director of Foot Locker UK and you're responsible for placing the managers in the Birmingham store. And ever since you keep placing managers in the Birmingham store of Foot Locker, the managers have been shit. No one's buying trainers. No one's buying add-ons with the sole, the insoles and the spray for the trainers and stuff. No one's doing anything. You've got poor workers. You're getting complaints. Then you've changed four managers in that Birmingham Foot Locker. There's going to be a point where the CEOs of Foot Locker go, hang on a minute, let's look at the regional director, because he's the one fucking bringing in these managers to the Birmingham store, and it's been shit ever since he's come in. So you're going to lose your job, Mark. And that, for me, is the issue. That's not happening at United. Yeah. Why? And he's still making the decisions.
And he's still making the decisions. This is it. There you go. This morning. He's still
and that's the Glazers. The Glazers,
the next
right,
year.
Are looking at it like, well, United is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It makes its own money. Hence why they don't need to put in as much as they're taking out, or they're taking out more than they're putting in. Because United will run itself. We've been a shit football team, an awful football team, since Sir Alex has left. We've been shit. But globally, we've been as successful as ever. And we always probably will be, unless this carries on for another 10, 15 years. You never know, even that could be in jeopardy. But right now, we are still a powerhouse on a global brand level as a club. That... Exactly, they're just leeching it. They're leeching it, and that is the big problem. We could bring in. Do you know how deep it is, Mark? And this, people could call me stupid. You could bring in Pep Guardiola tomorrow at United. I honestly don't think he'd be doing what he's doing, because why? When he goes, fucking hell, mate, I need to get rid of Ashley Young. I need to get rid of Matic. I need to get rid of Rashford or Lingard or whatever, because he might think these are not the right players. And he goes. Exactly, okay, and they'll go, well, mate, million, they've come for our youth ranks, mate. We believe it's the right way to go. They wouldn't back him like that. So all this bollocks about, it's only this, get him out already. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. I'm sorry, man. I'm getting a bit angry now, because now I'm actually thinking of the situation. I'm like, well, before we kick the fucking ball this season, we're all going The board's rinsed Ollie, mate. He's fucked with that team. What's he going to do with that? Like, how the hell is he going to win games with Matic and Pereira and even Fred, who we don't know about, and expect 20 goals from Rashford, expect 25 goals from Martial, Lingard? What's he supposed to do with that? That's what we said. So now it's gone a little bit wrong because his two best outfield players are injured in Martial and Rashford. Martial and Pogba are injured. We're now blaming him and saying, get him out. Which one is it? You either blame the board or you just think Ollie's crap. Like, you can't do that. There's too much blame around everything.
I think there is a...
Absolutely.
There is a grey area in between, though. There definitely is. Because the result at the weekend... Well, let's talk about that in a minute. Let me just do this hypothetical scenario that we're talking about at the start then. So, look, something needs to happen with Woodward. We're going to make... you know, a miracle's happened. Me and Flex have had the phone call from the Glazers. They're fed up with Woodward. They said, you're chief executive from Sunday. Yeah. Woodward's gone. He's history. You're in charge of what happens. Yeah. Anything you want is your command. For me, and do butt in if you disagree with any of this, and we'll talk it through. For me, if I was taking the chief executive job, I would say to the Glazers, right, I want 300 million in the next 12 months, and I want 150 million every year after that, and I'll get us back on top. And then they go, right, okay.
But would they even give you it?
Yeah, that's fine. That's the thing. So I know
I would ask them to sell the club. That's
well, let's just say, look, if I'm having the job under the Glazers, then I want that in writing, and I want the money in the bank. And, you know, so I want 300 million to start off with, then 150 million every subsequent year. And I think that I'd be confident that I could start to sort the club out with that. And then they say, well, what are you doing with the coaching staff, and what are you doing with Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer? Right, get him in the fucking office now. Get Ollie in the office, right? And what I say is, Ollie, sit down, shut up, you're not saying anything. Stop getting me under a cup of tea and biscuits, and no more Mr. Nice Guy, right? What are you doing with Matic and Mata and Ashley Young? And this is your chance. And if he says to me, I need to use him, get out, right? Yeah. If he says I'm going to sell him, you stay, right? The second thing I want to know, Ollie, and I want the honest truth here is, why haven't you got a midfielder? Yeah. What happened last summer? Yeah. Did you ask for a midfielder?
Gone.
No, I'm happy.
But if he says, I asked and he gave me guarantees it was going to come, and it didn't, then you can see where we're at.
Right, and I would say, right, that's the answer I want. You can stay, right? And then, and finally, so right, you're telling me you're getting rid of Matic, Mata and Young. Right, great. You're telling me you wanted midfielders in the summer and you didn't get them. Right answer. Mm. Right, third thing, you've got till Christmas, mate. You've got till Christmas to start showing me a vision of what you're doing, what your best 11 is, what your philosophy is. Don't tell me what it is now. Mm. You go off and do it. And if I don't like
with the
it,
money, with gone. The money that you but have well, assured from the Glazers, so we can spend.
Well, I can't spend it until January anyway. So I say, crack on from now till Christmas, and you show me, and the most importantly, the fans, what you're doing. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint here. If you do what you've done for the last 6 months, you'll be home for Christmas back in Norway. If you go back to what you were doing in the first 3 months, show me exciting football with a vision, you're probably going to get at least 100 million spent in January and another 200 million in the summer. So that's how I would approach it. I would be like, I want to know what went wrong in the summer, what role you had. I want to know that you're getting rid of Matic and Mata forever. And I want to know that you're going to go and play. I want you to go and play a brand of football that I can see where you're going. And they're the three things I'd do. And I don't think it's rocket science. No, so what would you do?
I can't really say anything dissimilar to that, to be perfectly honest with you. That is, because that is what we need. And I mean, obviously, it's completely hypothetical. And as you were painting the picture, it just seems so perfect and easy for it to happen. But it kicked in.
Because we're football people. People underestimate fans, right? This is exactly what Rio should be saying, Gary Neville should be saying, but they won't bloody do it because they all want jobs or it's all their mate. It's not rocket science. What I've just said there, any United fan could say. It's three very simple questions to get to the root of what's going on.
And none of it is not wanting to back out.
Why are you picking Mata and Mata? Why is there no midfielder? And I'm going to give you some money if you show me a vision. It's bloody easy. And we go back to the main issue. These are easy issues to solve. People think, you know, Gary Neville will go, it's the hardest job Manchester United have ever had. It's not. It's just common sense. Mm.
It's not hard if you've got structure. It's not. And people making the right decisions.
And knowledge.
Exactly. It really isn't. And that...
Football jobs is
what pisses me off. Like, this whole, like, oh, we have a divine right that as soon as Sir Alex left, we should have carried on challenging for trophies. I understand transition. I get it. But I don't understand, like, ambition that's just in the dark. Like, I don't think we have it. We've got no direction. I can't see it. Do you know what I'm saying? From up above, I see Ollie saying the right things. And on to Ollie, I'm not blind to the little things I'm seeing that are annoying me. The team selection, the bringing in the old guard, that does worry me. Late substitutions, not playing the youth when he said he's gonna. Look, it's only six games, so I'm still hoping that I see it when he gets his full team back, and going for it. But don't get me wrong, if it keeps panning out like this, like he keeps going back to Matic and Mata, keep playing Pereira on the right, no Fred, then it will become inexcusable for me. But I just see I'm just thinking on the bigger picture and the bigger scale. But you're right, man, it seems like such an easy thing to do, and that's why it's so frustrating, because it's not that hard. It's not that hard. Yeah, Man United's a big football club and it's got loads and loads of staff and all that, but if you get the fundamentals right of anything, then it will lead you on to potential success. Do you know what I'm saying? Or improvement, at least.
I just think, you know, what you talk about Foot Locker, can we talk about restaurants or anything like that? I've managed people, you've managed people. Even if people haven't managed people, like, you've probably been a problem solver at some point in your life. Drop me in as CEO, or drop us in as CEO. Drop any United fan in as CEO. And I think most people would get Ollie in a room, because look, maybe Solskjaer isn't good enough, but people are like, oh, I don't know, let's just be patient. Let's be patient, right? No, fuck being patient. Let's find out what's going on, and let's actually put the most important thing right in focus, improving this fucking football club that we love, and not be waiting to see if we're going to get a magic scenario out of it. And as I said, look, it all comes back to the top. Yeah, it does come back to the top, because if you want to find out whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is good enough, the people at the top already know. We don't know because we're not at the top. And by being a CEO for a day in a hypothetical situation, you've got your money from the Glazers, right? I've got that. That's the big thing, because I know everybody knows we've got to spend money. We've got to. The second thing is get Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the office, ask him why we've got no midfielders. And if he says it's down to him, I'm sorry, mate, you're gone. You're absolutely gone. You're an idiot. If he says, I wanted them and Woodward didn't deliver them, give him a hug, give him a cuddle and say, it's all right now, we're going to look after you. And then the third thing, never, ever, ever play Matic and Mata again. And never play Ashley Young unless it's a charity game. Like, realistically, get rid of them. Go back to what you did in the first 3 months. And it's dead easy. And it could be done right now, this morning. But it won't be done, because Woodward's swanning around with his big smug face thinking I'm unsackable because I make these prats who run our club very, very rich. And I know sod all about football. Yet I am in charge of this football club. I make every footballing decision. And I think Ollie knows what he's doing, and I can see a vision for the future. How do you know? Like, what do you know about football, mate? Sod all. And you're in the most powerful position in football. And then we'll come to this, because I want to get you on this. And then you've got ex-professional footballers who are all going, for our football club, going, you've got to trust the process, man. How are they not really thinking what we're thinking? And I tell you what my theory is, I think they are thinking.
I was just about to say that. I do feel like, because of their affiliations with the club, and this is why it gets a bit sticky, really, because I think Rio knows football. I think Rio knows football. Gary Neville knows football.
And he knows Man United.
I believe that they want Ollie to succeed, because we want Ollie to succeed as well. But I feel like they would have them same frustrations, like, flipping heck, Ollie, I don't know why you would pick that player over this player, or put Matic in there, or Pereira. That didn't really make sense. But they're not putting that out on public forums, because the bottom line is that they do want their either ex-teammate to do well, or, And from a business point of view, from these guys, they don't know what could come up in the future at United. So their agents and that could be saying to them, do you know what? Just refrain from saying X, Y, Z. Give your opinion to a certain extent, but don't go in. Don't go, you know, this person's a wally. And, you know, because like I said, I asked Rio directly about the board. I did. I said, do you have faith in the board that they're going to back Ollie? Because I wasn't trying to make it but why Rio? Ollie should be sacked. And, you know, I keep saying and reiterating this fact that I'm not trying to say Ollie out. I'm not after six games of a season where I expected to be shit. I'm not. But I am questioning the people above Ollie, and to people who, like Rio or ex-pros or people that I might speak to along those lines, I will ask him. And he kind of, I don't know if he swerved it because he might not have heard, or there was a lot going on, or he kind of pulled up with the agenda.
I don't think they want to.
Kind of pulled up with the agenda of, actually, I want to put out a statement. Someone put a comment, actually, to be fair, underneath my post or his post of that video, and they said, I think Rio knew what he was doing, He went up to the fan channel to basically, he knew everyone would turn around and kind of say, oh, Rio, Rio. And then he obviously got his friend to record it, so he's always going to put it up on his own thing. What he's done is he's gone, mate, let's, hold this, like, record this. And it was a chance for Rio to obviously put his stamp down. So obviously United would see that he's supporting Oli, and Oli would see it, and, you know, whether he's...
Next, do you know what I'm saying? Maybe.
So I can maybe see some of that, but I love Rio Ferdinand. I think I know he's a legend, and I actually like him as a person. So that's why I would love to sit down and see just how far of an opinion he would give, because I feel that there's so many questions that could be posed to the ex-pros and the legends and the football people and the pundits and the journos, whatever, the fans, that are going to draw different opinions. And you can't tell me that you're looking at it thinking, all right, cool, give him time and that, but you can't look at it and say he's making the best tactical decisions, you know, starting 11, personnel decisions. You can't, because I can't say that. I can't say that. I'm just not saying that's enough for me to want him sacked right now. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, I have got a lot of respect for Rio, absolutely, and Gary Neville and Keane and Scholes, and, you know, more than respect, adulation. They're legends of the club on the pitch. I don't think they're legends in relation to what they're doing at the moment, but we've all got our own ladders to climb, and I don't know what they're doing. You know, Gary Neville might have a hotel that he wants to get near Old Trafford and needs to keep him on side. I don't know. Rio Ferdinand might want a job at Old Trafford because he thinks he can make things different from within, which is admirable. But the reality is, everything we've just spoken about there, we haven't said Oli out. We've said maybe Oli out when you find out the truth, when you get in there. Is he just incompetent, or has he got his hands tied behind his back?
We're going to see. It's all going to pan out. It's all going to pan out, because if he does.
Yeah, it's all going to pan out, but it's going to pan out with the sack anyway. Mm. We'll talk about that in a minute. He will be sacked because he's got an idiot in charge of him. But the reality is, I don't understand why a Rio or a Gary Neville are not actually saying publicly what we'd... Effectively, we've just spent 10 minutes defending Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and saying there's a scenario here where he's screwed over by the people who run it. If they are his mate, I thought what Rio said at the weekend, which is why we wanted to get a follow-up, and why he probably won't do it, because he's going to get tangled in the truth... I thought basically maybe there was a cynical approach there. Maybe it was about, look, back, you know, bit of propaganda back Oli. But actually, when you ask a question, oh, I can't answer that. Oh, look, I've got to move now. The reality is, they should, if they really do back Oli, they should be saying what we're saying anyway. You know, they should be going in on the board, because they've got massive influence to do that. But it's really dubious to me why nobody is. Gary Neville, a year ago, when Mourinho, and then this is scary as well, because we're going to talk about Arsenal, we're going to talk about the board, we'll talk about whether Ollie's gone by Christmas. But interestingly, just to bring a bit of stats into this, just before the Newcastle game, we played 7 games, so we've played 6 so far. So just before the Newcastle game on the Friday night, came out from the Mirror that Mourinho was going to be sacked, which everyone got excited about because we wanted him gone. You were at the game, we were 2-0 down at half time. Oh, he's gone, he's going to be gone by tonight. We came back and we won 3-2. The Pogba and Martial show, what a surprise we're missing then. International break, 8 games played, 13 points, and everyone still wanted Mourinho sacked. 8 games played, 13 points. We've played 6 games, we've got 8 points. Even if Oli beats Arsenal and Newcastle, which is probably highly unlikely, he'll only have 14 points after 8 games. It magnifies what a bad start to the season this has been. But what Gary Neville said on that night before, when everyone wanted Mourinho sacked, he was going mad. He should not be sacked. The problems at this club run far higher than that. That's probably one of the last times I've ever heard him talk about it. And that's a year ago. And I thought, you know, what he said that night was wrong, because I wanted Mourinho sacked, but right, because it is wrong upstairs. And we don't hear enough of that. No. We don't hear enough of that. You know, Paul Scholes, very vocal about Mourinho and Van Gaal, very right. Not enough about what's going on.
They don't
upstairs.
Want to get involved in that. And that's what I'm saying. I think as ex-pro, it's a conflict of interest.
I don't want to get involved. I don't want the United stand to be involved. I don't. I want us to be a fan channel celebrating happy times. But it's like solving a Rubik's Cube, isn't it? Or a crossword. You know, it's... I'm sorry, this... If you want to complete it, the solution is staring us in the face. I don't want to be saying this. I don't like saying it.
You know what the worst thing is, though, Mark? It's like, it is the truth, but it's like, the Glazers aren't going to sell the club anytime soon. I can't see them sacking Ed Woodward anytime soon. So
no,
really...
it's going to go.
I honestly, when people are like, what can we do, Flex? I don't fucking know.
Well, you just said it yourself, haven't you? You give Pep Guardiola the job and he'll get sacked, because He can't play tiki-taki football with Matic and Mata and McTominay.
You've got to have the sanctions to get these players out. But then, if you think about it, that's where Ole can maybe come into it with how strong is he going to be? Because, let's face it, he moved out Phil Jones, Smalling, Ashley Young, Darmian, Sanchez, Lukaku. Herrera's the questionable one because you could argue we should have kept him. But he moved him on. That's seven.
But you know the problem with that is, just to cut in and then let me speak, is that the problem with that is, and a lot of people say this, and every time people say it, I sort of switch off because I'm like, of course the board are going to let them go. They're making money letting them go. They're saving money letting them go.
They haven't reinvested because they're too
tight. And I do applaud Ole for getting rid of them, but if they're not, he may as well have kept them. I know that sounds stupid. Someone said this to me last night on the United Stand on YouTube. They were like, we should have kept Lukaku. And I was like, well, no, we shouldn't, because Ollie's right to get rid of him. But actually, if we had kept him, we would be stronger because we'd have a striker. But actually, he's right to get rid of him. He's right to get rid of all these players. But they won't replace them.
I think where it's gone wrong is, and that is where it comes down to this topic, yeah? Did Ollie get rid of these players knowing that we were going to be this threadbare? That is the question. That's the question. He's never going to come out and do a Jose, like when that year when Jose didn't get Maguire and didn't get a centre-half, and he was like, yeah, you know, we're doomed, basically. I didn't get what I wanted. But Ollie's not going to do that, because he's not that character. Whether you think he should come out and out the board or not.
He's back to them, hasn't he? He actually has said there's money there if we need it.
And that's why I think Ollie's, because he loves the club so much, and we spoke about this on the Flex and Rancho, so I don't want to say it too much, but because of the type of man he is, he was always going to take this job. Even if in the back of his head he thought, fucking hell, mate, I don't know about that. Do you know what I mean? Because if you offered it...
I'd take it.
That's what I think. There's some fans who would be like, I'll give that a go. But there's some fans who are so real, they're like, I'd never be able to do that, mate. I don't know anything about football. Do you know what I mean? So... Yeah. But there's other professionals, like if you offered it to Paul Scholes, he'd say no, he doesn't want to manage, he doesn't want to do that. Gary Neville would say no. I know he failed at Valencia, but you know, there's certain players who got massive affiliation with the club who would never choose to manage it. But Ollie falls into the category of, obviously he was managing already, but he's like, yeah, I can't turn my back on that. Because really, Ollie could have gone, do you know what, I've got the reaction out of the players as a caretaker. I really feel that, you know, you should get a proper experienced manager, and I could even work alongside them and be a number two or whatever. But it's not in his remit. It's not in his DNA. But back to my point, it's like, whether we need to know, which we're never going to know, did he get rid of those players because he had assurances that he could get at least more than three players in? Because I think it is the absolute right thing to do, because we have to get rid of players who are A, not good enough, and two, don't want to be there, because we have to get a new culture within that squad. We have to improve that squad, and we have to build. But the problem is, I know you can't do it all in one transfer window, but the rate of what we did reinforce was too low to the rate of what we put out. So we were only going to be worse than we were last season, even with the likes of Wan-Bissaka, Maguire and James. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you're relying then on two unproven strikers at 20 goals level to produce it. Then you're relying on Pogba to produce every single game, which, let's be honest, in our squad, he hasn't done that since he's even come. And then you're relying on a young kid in Daniel James to have an impact, which he kind of has, and then now he's our sole flipping bit of force that we've got on that side. Then you're relying on Wan-Bissaka to come in and have a stormer straight away. Harry Maguire, okay, a bit more experience, so you should expect him to settle his feet. But it's an unsettled squad. So it's all down to that. Did Ollie move them out with the reassurances? And we would never know. We would never know, man. Because he didn't help himself by talking the things that he spoke about, and that is where I think he's been naive. You know, coming and saying, there's going to be players that ain't going to be part of this. We've got money. There's people on the phone touting us players. Then it went to, there was a couple of press conferences, I remember, when we was out in China or wherever it was, Singapore. And even you done a video, Mark, saying, actually, he's putting it on Woodward. He was like, you're going to have to speak to Ed. He knows what's going on. You know, we started thinking, oh, actually, hang on a minute. Yeah, he is putting it on Woodward. Then we start the season without the reinforcements that we want, but he picks the right team. There's no Jones in the squad. There's no Smalling in the squad. Young's on the bench. No Matic. You know, he's gone with the right team. Then the wheels fell off a little bit, and then he's gone back to the old guard. That is where I'm concerned in terms of looking at Ollie. If that continues, then I can see my opinion starting to change drastically. But I'm still going to give him time to do that. But look, it all falls back to, why was there not reinforcements. They're saying that it's because they didn't find the right ones. I'm sorry. You knew Lukaku was going to leave way before the transfer window even opened. You knew Alexis Sanchez didn't want to play for us, because that's why Ollie's got rid of him and didn't even care about replacing him. It's got that bad. He's gone, fucking hell, we'll even pay half your wages. You don't want to play here. We don't want you here. You've been shit. I'd rather put it all on Mason Greenwood and myself, stupidly, but he has, and get rid of you. So you knew these players wanted to leave. You knew Herrera the thing weren't going to sign. You knew. And that's where I think the board are fucked up, because they're trying to penny pinch.
There's, look, we don't want to dwell on the summer too much. It was an absolute disaster. But when they say that the money was available, the wrong players weren't there, you get nonsense that they didn't want to sign Bruno Fernandes because he takes too many risks.
Bollocks.
I mean, look, Fernandes was available, Tielemans was available, Ndombele was available, Timo Werner was available, Ben Yedder was available.
Lozano.
There were so many players available. Yeah,
Icardi.
Lozano was available. Yeah. There was loads of players. And they're all available for reasonable price. When they put that statement out, which I know you've discussed and I discussed last night, so we're not going to do it, about investment, they're just full of bullshit. And I think the sad thing is that it's September. I'm furious with the manager. I'm absolutely livid with the board. And this has been going on for 6 years. And I am furious with Solskjaer. I'm going to be honest. I'm not old Solskjaer out, but I'm furious with him for what he did at the weekend. He threw 3 points away. And that's all on him. That's not about the summer. That's not about anything other than...
Well, at least didn't give us a chance. I don't think he gave us a chance to fully be able to win. I'll say that. You know?
No. And then I said that last night. Maybe we would have lost if he'd picked the team I wanted to. But at least I would have gone...
He's trying to do something.
It is totally about the board at the moment. He's unnecessarily putting pressure onto himself, because he could just have the total excuse of the board. But this Manchester United side is the worst Manchester United side in Premier League history.
He is.
And it's what, 26 years, 27 years the Premier League's been going? And, it's the worst Manchester United side. And, Ollie's got something to do with that. He has, injuries or whatever.
Mate,
he
sorry, has keep talking. My door's just gone.
The title of the podcast is going to be Solskjaer Gone by Christmas. I need to ask it. Is he, for all we've spoken about there, it's not about whether you would sack him by Christmas. It's about, we could be bottom half the table by Christmas. You've got to start looking at, he's averaging a point a game. Is he gone by Christmas? At what point do you think they would, if they would, pull the trigger, considering most managers are not sacked because of the chief executive, they're sacked because of media pressure and fan pressure?
So I'm back, mate. I'm back.
Sorry,
I said, hold on. My door always goes. I always get deliveries every time we start this podcast. Sorry.
Yeah, what I was saying is that the title of the podcast is Solskjaer Gone by Christmas. The reality is, Woodward can say what he likes. The point is, he's averaging a point a game since March, or just over a point since March. We could be bottom half the table by Christmas. I don't care what the club say. Most managers are sacked on media pressure and fan pressure. Do you think he will still be manager at Christmas, and where do you think United will be?
I do think he'll still be manager at Christmas. I do. Where will we be? I think we'll be floating around... between fifth and seventh. I know that's quite, out there, but that's just because I know people could say, nah, Flex can't see it. I just think if we get Martial and Pogba back, it is, they are Ollie's two best players. There are two best outfield players at the club. Let's not get that misconstrued. I don't care what anyone says, they are. If we get them back and firing again, I feel like we'll be back on par, which is where, because let's not get it twisted, we said even with them, we predicted we're going to finish fifth or sixth this year. So I think it will make us be in and around that area, which again, this is why I'm not switching right now. I'm not that angry. Like, don't get me wrong, turning up and getting pumped and that, it makes you angry at the time, and then your phone's going off and fucking social media's rinsing you and you're getting bantered in the group chats and all of that shit. Don't want to watch Match of the Day, don't want to see highlights. That makes you really angry. But then when you calm down and look at the context, I'm saying, before we kick the ball this season, I expect us to be around fifth or sixth at best. At best.
Nah, I don't think you can say at best. I think... Manchester United Football Club should be finishing fifth or sixth. If he finishes below that, then he should get sacked. He should, you know.
Well, we have said that,
not
though.
The seventh,
eighth, we have said that, because that's when we said, what would it take for it to get sacked? Yeah. Like, if he can't get fifth or sixth with his team, then it is his fault. Yeah, then that's what I'm saying.
But that is, that I agree with you. I think
we did
that,
say that. That's the ceiling.
You know, fourth and
exactly.
Gets
and
statue,
to be fair, you never know with fourth, because, right, Leicester are third now and doing well. Will they continue to do it? Well, they've given themselves a good basis and they obviously feel confident after the first six games. But you would entail that them and West Ham would drop off, obviously. And
I think Arsenal and Chelsea look
exactly,
like...
Exactly, but then Arsenal, you see what they did against Villa, and there's two ways of looking at that. You could look at it like, even before Maitland-Niles got sent off, they were shit. And, you know, it could have been a different situation. And away from home, they're still doing that bullshit that Arsenal still do. They score loads of goals, but they concede loads. So Arsenal can do an Arsenal. Like, basically, what I'm saying is the top four, the best of the rest could be as shit as it was last season, which could, in theory, even though we were shit, we still had a shot at top four. And we didn't win a game. We won like two games since the PSG game. Do you know what I mean? All we had to do was fucking beat Huddersfield and Cardiff, and we would have got top four. And I know Arsenal was saying the same thing. They only had to beat Burnley and Crystal Palace, and they could have got top four. Then Tottenham kept fucking up. Do you know what I mean? Everyone. So I feel like if that happens again, because look, Tottenham are seventh. Don't get that twisted. We're level on points with them. And Pochettino's supposed to be fucking brilliant. So, you know, if the best of the rest is as shit as it was last year, then madly, you might think it's way off, but we could have a crazy shot at top four. But I'm more going with the fifth or sixth thing. So that's where I think we'll be at Christmas. And to answer your question, I don't think he'll be sacked by Christmas.
I don't think he'll be sacked at Christmas because, as we've already seen, I don't think the board want to sack him because they love the fact that he shields them from the shit because he's a club legend. But I'm not so confident we'll be fifth or sixth or even close to it. I think we might be mid-table because, and there are a few, you know, people don't come back at me at Christmas and say, look at us.
Yeah, there's no point celebrating that.
I think we are.
But I will.
we're massively dependent on Martial and Pogba. And they, when they come back, we're a much better team. So, look,
if they're out, we won't. I will say that. I will say that.
Yeah. And that's it. I think, you know, I think, again, I don't want to go on about the board again, but I'm baffled how Paul Pogba was allowed to stay at the club. Forced to stay at the club because he wanted to go. We kept him. And it's all about, you know, it's all about Pogba's. I love Pogba. He's a very talented lad and he's a very professional lad. But what's his motivation this season? He doesn't want
to
be here, which I understand. And what if he gets another hamstring twinge in November? Exactly. You know, is he playing through the pain barrier or is he just like, I'm fit?
You don't know.
There's so many question marks about keeping a player that doesn't want to be here that's actually got our season in his hands. And he's already missed quite a few games. So if Pogba and Martial get back between now and Christmas, then, yeah, I think we might be touching around sixth and seventh and, you know, he's going to be safe in his job there. If Pogba gets another injury or is inconsistent and he keeps picking Matic and Mata and everyone like that, then I said this to you yesterday when we were talking on the phone, we actually haven't had a tough start to the season. We've lost to Palace, we've lost to West Ham, we've drawn to Southampton, we've drawn to Wolves. You know, the only team we played that was decent was Chelsea. Leicester was a home game and we were a bit lucky in that we got the penalty, otherwise it would have been a draw. So we've got Spurs, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, all to come before Christmas. We've probably got away games to people like Everton as well.
Bournemouth away.
There's a lot of points to be dropped. Bournemouth away is hard as well.
But remember I said before we played Leicester, I looked at it and thought, oh, fucking hell, mate, I don't really know where our guaranteed next 3 points are coming from. And when we pulled it out against Leicester, so they lost against fucking West Ham, so... But that's what I expected. Inconsistency,
I really hope you're right. I really hope you're right because if we do continue to only average like 1.2 points a game, 1.2 points a game, we will be mid-table, bottom half the table at Christmas. And if we're in that position, I'm sorry, I will say this as an individual United fan, then something's, you know, that can't happen at this football club. There can't be, the vision is, you know, that would be the biggest fraud ever. If they were saying to us at Christmas, we're bottom half of the table.
Yeah, no, that you can't. You can't do
for
that
next year.
Yeah,
go fuck yourselves. You know, seriously, seriously, I'm not having that. So you know, but I think I don't know whether he'd even be sacked at that point. But you know, United fans have got a decision to make. I've said this before. It's about how much you want to be lubed up and bent over. Do you want to believe that when we're in a mid table club, there's a vision for the future?
It is about that, or do you just want to stop at foreplay and say I'm out, like? I'm done. As Kevin Hart would say, pineapples. Like, it's like, no, I don't. I want you to stop. Like, because the thing is, yeah, I said I'd write this season off in terms of, because I know we're shit and we're going to be inconsistent. But I'm only willing to write it off to the point of, like you said, fifth, sixth, with that, and building blocks played a lot of the youth. It was a breakthrough season for Dan James. It was a breakthrough season for Greenwood. Gomez got some game time, and there were games where, you know, we lost them quite closely because, you know, the young players are a bit naive or whatever.
Look at like Chelsea.
They already can get behind their process. Don't get me wrong. Lampard was forced to play a lot of the young players because they couldn't buy no players. But I still think there would have been an element of someone like Frank Lampard that would have bought through Mason Mount and Tammy Abraham anyway. So, but they can get behind the process already, because I don't think Lampard's just going to abandon that and then start playing some of their shit players. So, you know, look, I'm just looking at the games, yeah. Premier League coming up. Arsenal, Newcastle away, Liverpool home, Norwich away, Bournemouth away, Brighton home, Sheffield United away, Aston Villa home, Tottenham home, City away. That takes us up to pretty much mid-December. So if you carry on from there to the end of the year, Everton at home, then Watford away, then Newcastle home, then Burnley away, and then New Year's Day. So our New Year's Day is Arsenal away, so we could be first of January. Got to fucking go to the Emirates anyway when we've already been pumped up until Christmas.
I mean, look, you know, I don't think we'll lose to Arsenal. I think it might be a draw, so that's a point. I could see us beating, you know.
Let's do a positive one. I can see us Martial, Pogba back, yeah? Arsenal, we do them over because no matter how shit we are, we somehow, I don't know how, we manage a draw or a win against Arsenal. Don't get me wrong, if we lose against Arsenal, it is peak. There will be people outside Old Trafford going, fuck this, get him out, he's done. And if that snowballs into a loss at Newcastle...
Massive game, yeah. The Arsenal game. We may as well talk about that for a little bit, because I know we've got a lot planned on the United stand with AFTV boys and, you know, but it is. It's a massive game. I mean, it's a massive game for them, because if they beat us, they go 6 points ahead of us, so which is significant in what will effectively be October. So, it's a massive game, and if we were to lose it, you know, we can only have 11 points, even if we beat Newcastle going into an international break, that Mourinho had 13 and everyone
wants him sacked. The worst thing about this Arsenal game is, like, it's six games, so you don't want to say it's a must-win game, but almost for morale, yeah, I feel like a draw, like, yeah, some people...
I think it is a must-win game, though, Flex, because we're hypocrites if we don't say that, because to be 6 points off Arsenal after six games, and we're saying we don't trust this squad... It's not like I don't think we're capable of doing what we did
going on a big
when
run.
He first came in again. No, I don't think we can go and win 10 games on the bounce with this squad. I think it's got to be a team that, you know, draw, win.
Yeah, inconsistency, but if it feels like a draw is just like, yeah, it will keep us ticking, but it won't build anything. If we're looking to try and build some form of confidence, what you think a draw will build confidence?
No, I just think it will be a draw. I think this United team is... I know it like the back of my hand. I don't trust it. You know, it can do shit things against West Ham and Palace. And then when there's a big game in front of the TV and everything like that...
But that's why I think we could potentially win. So, like, it could be like the Leicester game.
I think we could win it.
We could nick it 2-1.
Paper in the cracks, though, I think.
You know, and Arsenal are so bad defensively. If Martial and Pogba were back, we could get at them. But they will score against us. They will. Arsenal will score.
Well, if we beat Arsenal and then we beat Newcastle, everyone's going to be happy again. But I tell you what, we ain't beating Liverpool.
Imagine, Mark, we got three wins out of our next Premier League games.
Well, you've got the only way it's going to happen is if he's going to get three losses if he picks Matic and Mata, isn't he? So if he gets three wins against Arsenal, Liverpool, and Newcastle, mate, he's had to have picked a team that's exciting.
That
so and then we'd be happy, wouldn't we? But no, it's difficult because, you know, as I said, after Liverpool, it's Norwich away. Mate, they beat Man City. They've got a brand of football. Then it's Bournemouth away. They've got a brand of football. Then it's Brighton at home.
Sheffield United away.
Sheffield United, they're shit. And then Villa. So we could, if he gets to mid-November and he's still okay, there is a run of games that you could win. But I don't trust this team to win any game. You know, I'd never even say Sheffield United at home and they give us a 3-0 start. Yeah, I'd still be like...
Exactly.
Part the bus.
Exactly, and that's the problem with where we're at now. But that, I don't want to say at peace because it looks like I'm happy with it. I don't mean it like that, but I expected this, man. Inconsistency. inconsistency. I didn't expect Ollie to be playing Matic and Mata and stuff. So that is, like, we keep going back to it. That is what is pissing me off about Ollie. Because I'm not saying it's all rosy. Because it's not. Obviously, it's not. We're fucking eighth. But what I'm saying is that I'm not too surprised with inconsistency from this team. I'm not lack of chance creation from this team. Because let's be serious. Mm. We said that. We sat down, I keep going back to it, before at that United Stand event we done in London, and we did a video, me, you and Rance, and we all said, we're not going to create chances, we're going to lose points here and there, we're going to draw here, we're going to lose there, scrape 1-0 wins. And that's what we're seeing in the first six games, straight away.
I think for me it's worse though.
I didn't think it'd be this bad? I didn't expect us to be top. I did.
No, I didn't, because I didn't expect him to do what he's done. I didn't expect him to go out and play games trying not to lose instead of trying to win, playing the experienced players. He's really disappointed me, to be honest. I've watched United every game for however many years, and certainly in the last two or three years, if Ollie was nice enough to ring up and say, look, Mark, what do you think about me picking Matic, I'd say... You'd be talking to a dead phone. I'd be like,
You would not hang up if Ollie's got raggy. You wouldn't.
I know that as a United fan, that as soon as that team news came out, I was like, we're screwed. Straight and there was away, a better team he could have picked that was more dynamic. And the lack of pace in that.
I think that's all we want to see as United fans, you know, because look, we know we're shit, and our players, like Roy Keane is saying, he goes, look, a lot of these men can run around like blue ass flies for passion for the badge. Like Herrera can put his all in. So Pereira could run around up and down the right hand side to try and make something happen. Matic could try and run, and McTominay can try and get on the end of things and force the issue and try and create. But the reality is, most of the players we got, maybe bar De Gea, Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, you could even question Lindelof, still got to prove it, but he's probably in that category. Sure, depending on how you look at him. Other than that, Pogba and Martial, you could argue that they're all not good enough. So,
well, I said last night about McTominay, and I want to talk about Rashford quickly in the last sort of few minutes, but I said last night about McTominay, I don't think he was that good against West Ham.
What, did everyone say he was good?
And also, I actually think...
Well, but a lot of people saying he was good. He was really good. Were they?
Oh, but he's a passion merchant, isn't he? He runs around, he loves the club, he does big tackles, but my thing about McTominay is I actually feel sorry for him, because if we had bought two midfielders, I think McTominay's the sort of player who shouldn't be starting. Yeah. He should be perfect one game here, one game there. He should actually be playing in the Europa League and the Carabao Cup and the bench player for the Premier League. But now he's like, oh, McTominay's
to be fair to McTominay, I would say if we had two good attacking midfielders, if we invested, so we had Pogba and say a Fernandes or whatever, you could say to McTominay, just sit there, mate. Like, do you know what I mean? He could play in our first team.
But he's lost in that system. Exactly. He's got shit players around him in his most important years. I've seen players because not that, make it because they come into a team that's not going to develop them. And that's my worry with McTominay. He clearly has got some talent, but I think he's just, you know, he ain't going to improve with
which, to be fair, affects to our other youngsters as well, who are even lower down the pecking order than him, the likes of Chong and even Greenwood and Gomez, because you look at the team that they came into against Astana, and I know, look, I keep saying that Astana was shit, so we still should have piped them by more. We had the chances to win 3 or 4-0, really. But they're coming into teams that are like, got seasoned pros in it that haven't played in ages, so their motivation's not high. You've got Phil Jones, you've got Rojo, do you know what I mean? You've got Fred, who obviously hadn't played in a while, you've got Matic in there, who's shit. They're coming into like a team of 11 changes. So it's hard for them as well. They're not even playing in our first team that might create that little bit more, or might be a little bit more fluid. You know, because if you put Gomez in, but then he's got Pogba behind him next to Fred, then that changes what it looks like for Gomez. Then if he comes in and he's got Matic and McTominay.
What do you think about Rashford? He's obviously got an injury now. I personally thought against West Ham, I gave it a day or so to think about it, but I thought it was probably one of his worst performances at the end of what has been his worst run.
He looks shot for confidence.
You know, the last 6 months have been terrible, but there was just one bit. I mean, I spoke about it against Southampton. You know, the crosses that Dan James is putting in, and he's not making the runs. There was a cross that came in from Wan-Bissaka in the first half, and I can't remember whether it was Agbana or the West Ham centre back. He moved for the ball and jumped high to get rid of it, and Rashford's just stood there waiting for it to land on his head. He is not at the races. I wonder if, you know, If his name was David Bellion, people would be saying he's a flop. Yeah. We never should have bought him. Because he's come through the youth setup, because we've seen his potential, everyone wants him to still succeed, including me. But
do you know what? Yeah,
what's going wrong? Why is he? Is he to be honest, that's the question.
All right, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's a culmination of things. Yeah. One, I believe that he's never as good as the club think he is, or maybe even a lot of fans do. They've been clouded by that, by thinking he's going to hit these super, super, super heights. I think he could be a good player.
But the interesting thing is, just to add this, because then I'll let you talk again, is that just to add a bit of context to everyone, in the youth setup, no one ever spoke about Marcus Rashford coming through. He surprised everybody. He was the scraping the barrel striker, because it was actually Keane who was playing. And they got injured. And they came in, and he was a breath of fresh air, and he looks, to me, I think he's got an amazing talent.
That is what it is. He wasn't. So that's the first thing is that we all think he was better than he was, but the club have put him on that pedestal. The second thing is that he wasn't even the next one to bust. He wasn't. It was supposed to be, like you said, Wilson, who was just always supposed to come up and just never, ever did. And we got three injuries on that day. I pretty much remember. I remember Rooney got injured, Martial got injured in a warm-up, and Wilson was already injured. Will Keane. We had to play him. And he took his chance. Then on top of that, I feel that because everything got thrusted onto his shoulders from that, the club gave him number 10, club gave him a bumper new deal, plus no one ever really established what Rashford is. Is he a number 9? Is he a left winger? Is he a right winger? Is he playing just off the front? Is he a false 9? No one established what he is. And I think from that, because he's not maybe as talented or as clinical as a Martial, that didn't aid his development as well, but just playing here, there and everywhere. And then burnout. Every manager we've had with Rashford has persistently played him, hasn't taken him out the firing line when he's been bad. I don't know whether it's because we've had bigger problems, like a Lukaku who's been out of form or whatever, but it took ages for even him to get dropped. But I feel like he's been thrusted in and just been overworked. And now, look, you don't wish injury on anyone. But you're looking at it now, it's like, Ollie was never going to drop you. So maybe having an injury for 4 weeks might just make him just go, do you know what? It's not really resting because it's recovering. So there's a bit of a difference between that. But it might make him just reevaluate himself and think, this is what I'm not doing. This is what I need to do more of. And I need to relax. Wow, I'm taking too many shots from ridiculous angles. Wow, I'm running into blind alleys every time I get the ball. Wow, my movement and my second phase of play is not good. It might make him do that. I don't want to see players injured. Of course not. You don't want to wish that on anyone. But I'm saying that the kind of indirect effect this could have on Rashford, and it could be that. I'm hoping it's that, because right now, he looks like a player who's never going to get going again, to me, which is a big worry. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. I mean, look, I never thought he was the next Danny Welbeck, but, you know, his decision-making has always been bad. And you always think, well, as a young player, he can improve on that. But he isn't. He's got to improve. He's got to open his eyes in the box. He's got to move in the box. He's got to know when to lay it off and know when to run with it. He's got to stop putting his head down when he's shooting and look up. He's got to get his head up when he wants to put a cross in. He's got to get his head up when he's dribbling.
He just needs to be better in every single department, is what we're saying, as a forward, really. Because
I think the initial bits are good. I think his first touch is normally good. I think his first two or three touches are quite good. I think, you know, he's got a good shot on him. The big problem with him is his final product, whether it's getting on the end of something, finishing, passing, putting a cross in, playing a pass in, or what he does when he's made that first two or three runs. His decision-making is really bad. And actually, to be fair to Ollie, you can't necessarily teach that. I can think of loads of players through the years that were very, very talented players. I mean, Adama Traore, a lot of people talk about him at Wolves. I've heard people say that to me about what a player is.
And he's not consistent. No end product. Sometimes he can come on and have a worldie like he did against Luke Shaw and change the game.
Yeah, and I think Rashford's heading down that route. And if he do, you know, that's a footballer, you know, he might just not have football intelligence to establish decision making, and he wouldn't be the first to do it. But if he did, I still think he could be a very, very good player for Manchester United. I haven't written him off. As I said last night on the YouTube channel, I think Solskjaer and Rashford are in a very similar situation. They've both definitely got it, I think, and they've already shown it. But at the moment, They're really underperforming, and the next few weeks and months are going to be very interesting, because I'm not so sure if Solskjaer went, another manager would come in and go, yeah, Rashford,
exactly,
you're part of
our setup. And that is the key. Same with Lingard. I mean, Lingard's even worse because he's 27, 28. Yeah. No team's going to come in and buy him. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
He's a bench player, that's what he is.
But right now, and this is, you know, you're looking at the Arsenal game, if Rashford's not going to play because he's injured. So I think what he does do, if Martial's not back, he's got to play Greenwood in the nine, and then he's got to play Dan James on the left, and that would probably mean Lingard on the right. Really, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what's, but if Martial is fit, it'd be interesting to see what he does, because really, I still think Greenwood should start on the right.
Again, and again, it's a slightly diluted version of what he's doing with Matic and Mata. Lingard...
Yeah, he's like an old guard. Just because he's not 31, it's the guy that we know is not good enough. He's, whether you think he's not good enough or not in form, either or, they're both the same thing. At the moment, he's shit. And you could say, to be fair, he likes a goal against Arsenal. Yeah, he likes a goal in the big games. That's the only thing.
It's the only team he likes
so
a
then
goal
maybe
against,
you play, maybe you play him just off that and just give him a stage and some disco shoes. But, like... At the end of the day, really, Greenwood should play. He should play. He should play on the right.
I'm excited about the Rochdale game. We'll see what happens with it. But I am excited about it simply because I think Pogba and Martial will get some minutes. And I think he's got to go. And he can't play Matic and Mata. He's got to go and play Gomez and a Fred. So we should get in a... I think we might even get more than one goal, which would be good.
After the Astana game, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't.
Well, we've done the hour. Very, very good show. I think that's probably our best podcast
very
so far,
passionate.
Especially the first sort of half an hour.
Yeah.
I hope everyone's enjoying it. Make sure that you, wherever you're listening to it, you subscribe to it. And obviously it's going to be every Tuesday it will go up. So I hope you've enjoyed it. You can catch us on YouTube channels as well. Flex and Rants has gone up today, or whenever you're listening to this, it went up on Tuesday. We're live every night at 8 o'clock, and we will have fan cams and everything, and then we'll be building up towards Arsenal after Rochdale.
Exactly.
So
nice. Enjoyed it again, man. Brilliant. It's going really well. Keep supporting, guys. Keep supporting, bro.
Peace. Speak to you all later. Thank you. You're sacked.